Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Very thankful to be here this morning. So let's turn our Bibles over to Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. So as we start thinking about in sickness and in health, I want us to go back in time. For some of us, this may take a little bit longer than others, and think about what was your first love? What was the first person or thing that you fell in love with? It could have been the person that you first had a crush on. It could have been your first job that you were just so adored with. Or it could be a vacation spot. But what was your first love? Well, for me, 16 years ago, God revealed to me who my true first love was, my incredible, beautiful wife, Tasha. 16 years ago, we decided to marry one another and repeat those vows in sickness and in health until death do us part. And what has allowed us to be able to say those vows and live them out? Well, in actuality, it's been 8 years ago when we really figured out what it meant to live those vows out. 8 years ago, both Tasha and I made Jesus our first love and became disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, in society, a lot of the times we will say we love God and we love Jesus. We say it all the time. I used to say it all the time, but I didn't know what I was really talking about. I didn't really understand the gravity of that statement. We tend to put our love in a lot of different things in this world. But in Revelations chapter 2, Jesus actually speaks about making him our first love. So let's look at Revelations chapter 2, starting in verse 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. So what Jesus is doing here, John is capturing the words of Jesus, and he's writing seven letters to seven different churches. And in these letters, Jesus is commending the church on the things that they have done well, but he's also pointing out some things to them that they need to work on. And it's so funny how the very first letter is the church to Ephesus. And John was actually a leader at Ephesus quite a bit of his time. So you can imagine that John is a little nervous. He's a little anxious as the boss man is getting ready to give him a review of his work. Well, that's important because Ephesus was the metropolis of the Asia province. It was the mother city. That's what metropolis means. So therefore, the church at Ephesus was the mother church. And so a lot of the culture and the things that the church in Ephesus did would matriculate out into the province of Asia. Well, Jesus is commending them on several things. He's telling them that y'all are doing a great job at the apostles' teaching or sound doctrine. They were not letting any false teachers, any false preachers, any false doctrine to be brought into the church. And anytime you have a backbone where you're standing up and you're saying, hey, this is our culture, we're not going to allow the standard to be dropped, there is going to be persecution. And Jesus encourages them, hey, y'all have endured that long suffering. And so the church was doing amazing at making sure that the standard that the apostles taught was not being watered down or compromised. But in their pursuit of truth, The church at Ephesus had lost their first love. And Jesus tells them that without this, there is nothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is a scripture that is quoted so often. It's most quoted at weddings. And it tells us that without love, we have nothing. So when you look at what Jesus is really saying, I love John. When he writes, it's so simplistic, especially when we look at 1 John. So if we look at 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 16, it says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Whether in sickness and in health, we must be like Jesus." When you look at that word love, a lot of the times we don't really understand what it means biblically. From a biblical standpoint, the original Greek meaning of love is this word agape. Agape. And agape love is a self-sacrificing love. It's a love that is unconditional. It's a love that says, I will do whatever needs to be done, even if it inconveniences me. John writes in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus clearly speaks to what love is. He says, if you love me, you will follow my commands. Well, in my mind, in order to follow the commands, you must know the commands. And if we are to know the commands, that means we must be in our Bibles. It is so critical that we are in the Word of God because it signifies our first steps toward making Jesus our first love. And if we make Jesus our first love, love prevails always. Many times we will have character things that we love. And those character traits may be in things that we love, things that we like to do. And we will love those things so much that we will start to take on the identity of those things. You know, people ask me quite often, who are you? Introduce yourself to us. Tell us about who you are. And so I will tell them, my name is Dr. Edward R. Jackson II. I am an orthopedic sports medicine surgeon that works at Emory and Grady. I'm the team orthopedist for Georgia Tech Athletics and the head team orthopedist for Morehouse Athletics. And I make sure that I let people know about that. And the reason I say that is because my mindset on the reason why I say it has totally changed over the last 8 years. Before, my mindset was, what can I do with orthopedics to build up Ed? How can I use orthopedics to get more money in my pocket, more prestige under my belt, more titles to my name? It was all about me because orthopedics was my first love. Since the last 8 years, since I've made Jesus Lord of my life and become a disciple, now my mindset is, how can I use orthopedics as a tool to be able to serve God? What can I do to be able to allow orthopedics and the form and platform that I have to be able to let God get the glory? When you look at me as a healthcare worker, I would be remiss if I would not take the opportunity right now to say thank you to my fellow brothers and sisters in arms that are on the front lines of this crisis that we're currently in. It is truly, truly an amazing testament of this scripture that I want to read that reminds me of all that you all are doing. It comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And that's what y'all are literally doing. Every day you are going into battle, risking your life to be able to take care of others. As the media is referring to you all, you are truly heroes, but you are heroes who truly have love, and I thank you. As we look at our identity, we still have to be able to understand that our identity needs to be in Jesus. Because whether in sickness or in health, if Jesus is our identity, then love prevails. When you look at what was going on in Ephesus, something happened in the church at Ephesus. Their focus shifted from Jesus to just focusing in on sound doctrine. Now, Jesus commended them for this, but this seems as if that's all they were focusing in on. I don't know if they were being very harsh with other people or they were not serving other people. I'm not quite sure, but it seems to be a focus issue. And if that's the case, then what we focus on is what we end up loving. And what we end up loving is what we allow our identity to be. So what are we focused in on right now? During this pandemic, we can be focused in on social distancing. We can be focused in on all the Zoom conferences that we have going on. We can be focused in on the job situation that has just been very traumatic. We can be focused in on the virtual fellowship that we all just don't like as we want to be able to be in each other's arms. But if we don't process that stuff in the right way and talk through it, we will begin to have character traits of fear, of anger, of anxiety, or even loss of hope. And we don't want to mirror those character traits. We want to mirror Jesus. And that is the whole purpose, is we want to make Jesus our first love. A fairly famous Christian author had a quote. He said, "The trouble with so many people is that the voice of their neighbors sounds louder in their ears than the voice of God." Society tells us that we have to build our identity. We have to do something great. We have to go and succeed, and we have to go and achieve, and we need to have this title and that position. But this is what God whispers to us. God says, "You are my child. You do not have to prove anything to me. You are not of this world. You belong to me." And we have to ask ourselves, which voice are we listening to? We could literally take a page from the church in Ephesus and do what Jesus commended them on, and focus in on sound doctrine, on the apostles' teaching. And for us in 2020, that would be studying our Bibles. Because if we study our Bibles and we spend time with God and we get advice and input into our lives, then we will hear God over society. Jesus loved the church at Ephesus so much. He knew that they had an issue that they needed to work through. So he just wasn't going to tell them about it and move on. He loved them so much to where he gave them a solution. And that is what love really is. It's doing what's spiritually best for the relationship, regardless of the consequences. So Jesus gave them a solution to making him their first love. Let's pick up in Revelation chapter 2 in verse 5. Jesus says, "Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, there is a lot here in this section of scripture. And so I encourage you to be able to go back home over the week and be able to study this out. What I want us to focus in on is the solution that Jesus gives and then the reward that happens if we follow through on that solution. Now, what I will say is Jesus is full of love, compassion, mercy, and grace. But Jesus also brings truth. And he's telling us, here is what you need to do. You still have an opportunity to be able to enter paradise, but you have to remember where you have come from, and you have to make me your first love. Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. And this is what the Spirit said. Remember. We need to go back to the point in time where we didn't have nothing but God. We were lost. We were without hope. We were without peace. Nothing was working out. Everything was falling down. We've got to get back to that point where Jesus pulled us out of that miry pit. We need to remember the person that came into our life and took the time to share life with us, to love us, to open up the Bible with us, and sit down and show us God's word and how God's love us and how we should love God. We should go back and remember when we first became a disciple and were baptized, and the feelings that we had and what we wanted to do and accomplish for God. Or maybe you don't quite know what I'm talking about. Have you decided to make Jesus your first love and become a disciple? If you're not quite sure about that, we encourage you to come out and connect with us on all of our social media platforms. We've got small groups meeting all around the virtual city, if you will, now, and we want to meet you where you are. We're ready to go on a faith journey with you to help you figure out what is God telling you right now and how should we respond and love God. For those of us that have become disciples, what do you need to get back to? Now, when I say that, I don't expect you to say, man, I got to get back to my campus days. I got to go back to when I was in the campus ministry. You might not be able to do that if you're a married man with two children or a married woman. It's going to look different. We are all in different seasons of life. And so we've got to sit down and get input in our lives and spend time with God to figure out, in this season I'm currently in, what does it look like for me to make Jesus my first love? Because you can't sit on campus all day with just two or three classes and be on the yard and just share your faith. It's just not going to work like that. But there is a season that God has us in. And if we're able to embrace that, then we will be exactly what God wants us to be. But let's remember what God has done for us. Jesus goes on to say, repent. Repent. Now, this is very simple. Repentance is not just confessing your sin, but repentance is changing your mindset. It's turning 180 degrees from that issue and running away from it. You know, when you look at making Jesus our first love, it's not an issue of how are we going to be able to get my schedule squared away. It's not an issue of, you know, I just don't have time. It's an issue of sin. So we all have to be ready to put down the things that are clogging up our life. For me, it's patience. I have not been very patient with my family. I've been very irritable with them. I've been very short with them because I've been anxious to get back out and get going with work. And in the same breath, I have not wanted to get back to work because I've had fear. Fear that as I go out into the workplace, I may get infected and infect my family. So I need to repent of those things. What do you need to repent of? Maybe you've made a relationship the most important thing and your first love. Maybe you've made an attitude your most important thing. Let me just speak to the single people right now. You know, relationships can be a very amazing opportunity to grow, but they can also hinder our growth. We have to make sure that we hold the biblical standard when it comes to dating relationships. We cannot allow people to grow spiritually if we keep the emotion in there. So I encourage my single brothers, if you're dating, allow your girlfriend the opportunity to be able to grow with God. That means you have to step back and allow her to grow with other spiritual women. And if you're living together, that's just going to create so much temptation that you won't be able to overcome that. So I encourage you to be able to make the Bible your standard and repent and change of those ways. The last one I wanted to share with you is reach. Is reach. You know, what I try to do with my orthopedics now is I try to reach people. We have to think about the opportunities that God has given us to be excellent. And we got to say, how am I going to use those things to be able to build up God's kingdom and let people know about Him? You remember when you first fell in love? You were all excited about that person. Y'all would stay on the phone all night long. Nobody would be talking, but y'all would still stay on the phone. You would end up in the morning and you'll still be on the phone and there's, you know, drool on the phone. You want to show everybody the pictures of the person. And now with social media, you change your status. You want everybody to know about them. And we should have the same heart with Jesus. So as I take care of Georgia Tech, one of the things I have to do is take care of the basketball team. So when I go to basketball games, I use that opportunity to bring the people that I'm mentoring along with me, other medical students and college students. And so as I bring these men along with me, I realize that they want more in their life than just orthopedics. They want to make an impact in their life with other people. And so I sit down, I talk to them, I say, hey, what is it that you want to do? And we end up talking about God. And one of those guys in particular, Jeffrey, me and him had a great conversation. I got him connected with some of the brothers at church. They begin to sit down with Jeffrey and share their life and open up the scriptures. And Jeffrey had to wrestle with God, even through some relationship issues that he made Jesus Lord over. And several weeks ago, Jeffrey decided to make Jesus his first love, and he got baptized right at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Jeffrey said, I am not going to allow whatever's going on to interfere with me making Jesus my first love. So whether in sickness or in health, literally for Jeffrey, he made that decision and love prevailed. We have that opportunity to do that as well with whatever God is doing for us. Whatever opportunity God has given you to be excellent, you can bring glory to God by reaching other people. So what would it look like if we were to make Jesus our first love? One of the reasons that gives me so much encouragement and faith is this scripture I want to share. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all." Jesus died for us, and that's our why, the resurrection. As we get prepared for communion, to be able to take a piece of bread, which represents Jesus's body, and a cup of juice, which represents Jesus's blood, let us focus in on the why we should make Jesus our first love. We have an opportunity right now to give love to this community. We're going to need it. Everything's starting to open back up, and people are going to need to be loved. Jesus is waiting for us. He leads in love and continues to lead us in love. His arms are wide open, and his heart is wide open for us as well. Thank you. Let's pray for our communion. Holy Father God, you are absolutely incredible. Father, we are thankful that we have the opportunity to be able to read your word, to be able to still be together in fellowship with the technology you have given us. God, your scripture is so clear that we need to make you our first love. Your son Jesus has shown us how to do that by loving one another. God, we are excited about the opportunity to love you, because we know that you've initiated love with us. As we continue to rage against this invisible enemy of COVID-19, I pray for all of my healthcare workers, Father. Please protect them, God. Give them everything that they need to be able to fight against this enemy. God, we know that you are putting things on our heart that we want to process. And it's through love that we will be able to process those things in a healthy way. And God, as the church that you have designed, your son's body, let us be leading in love. Let us be the first in there to love and the last to leave. In your holy son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.